Bezrat Hashem Yisbach, we begin Perek Shmini, the 8th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchas Matnas Hanim, the gifts to the poor in the Sefer Zeroyim, where the Rambam continues qualifying the mitzvah tzedakah that he spoke about in the previous Perek, telling us that it's like the laws of Nedarim, and regarding changing where the location of the tzedakah is going to, and also regarding one of the most ideal mitzvahs of tzedakah, that of Pidyon Shvuim, of redeeming the captives. The Rambam begins in Halacha Aleph regarding the relationship that tzedakah has with Nedarim. Hatzedakah harei b'chlal Nedarim. Charity is in the category of vows, which is that of designating something for a holy purpose. If someone says, I realize selah litzdakah, says, it's incumbent upon me to give a selah, a certain amount of money, for charity. Or he says that this coin is for tzedakah. He has an obligation to give it to the poor right away. And if he delays, which is a halacha that we have by Nedarim of Karbanis, he has violated not to delay of giving his carbon, which in this context is not to delay giving his tzedakah. And shari b'yad li'litin miyad, because in contrast by karbonis, which is when a person does aliyah regal, which is by the tayvim, he has the ability to give it right away. Avanim etzuinhem, and there's poor people all around. So he could give it and they could receive it. Now, ain't shmanim, if there's no paupers around, so then at least mafresh manich ad shayim tzanim. At least he should separate and leave it until the poor comes, because although he cannot fulfill the second half of giving it, he could at least fulfill the part about separating it. Now, but if he stipulates he's not going to give it until he finds a poor man, in the tzach lavers, then he doesn't even have to separate. Let's say he stipulated the time that he took the vow of charity, or he's not the boy, so when he was giving his, pledging his donation, that the collectors should be able to go ahead and change it, exchange it for gold, where if he doesn't stipulate, they're actually not allowed to, as we'll see later in Halacha Dalad. But if that's what he stipulates, then they're permitted to do that. Halacha base. Hamatfis bitstaka. If someone extends on charity, chayv kashar nedarim, then he's going to be obligated, just like the laws of nedarim. Ketzachaso. Let's say Omri says, harisel zu kazu, which the law of hatfas, of extending a pre-existing nedar onto something else. Same thing is by charity. He says, this coin should be like this one, which this one is already tzedakah, and he wants this one to be like that one. Harisel tzedakah, that's going to be charity also. Now, hamafir shel v'amri, even if someone designates a coin and he says, harisel tzedakah, this is charity, v'lokach sel l'shnei v'amri, and then he takes a second coin and says, v'zu and this. It doesn't even say, and this like this. It just says, and this. Harishnit Staka, the second one's also going to be charity. Vav Pishle Pershon, even though he didn't specify, and this was known as Yad, which, even though it's not so clear that what it is, but that's considered a handle, like as if it's part of the statement, like just a handle is part of the vessel and removes it, so too over here it's going to have a halacha like charity too. Halacha Gimel, Hanoidit Staka. If someone takes a vow of charity, but Loyadikam another, he doesn't know how much of a vow he took, how much he had pledged. So Yid Natshiyam, he has to give until he says, Loyadikam is given. Well, that for sure I did not have in mind. And up until that, when it's a suffix, he would have to give. Halacha Dal Dram continues regarding changing the designation of what the charity was for. So Echraim, let's say someone says, sell a tzedakah. This coin should be for tzedakah. Oyamar says, Harealai sell a tzedakah. Or he says, it's upon me to give a sell a tzedakah. But if he should, he designates the coin. Imratza l'shanayse ba'acher, if he wants to go ahead and change this coin to use it and give payback later, another coin, put it back in the pushka, someone is allowed to do that. But the Mishigil Yad Agabu, let's say it already came to the hand of the Gabu, of the collector, Asla Shanaisa, then you're not allowed to change it anymore. Now, the Mratz HaGaboyim Litzarif HaMoyis, Balas Oysa and Dinarim, let's say the charity collects themselves, they want to change the monies and turn it into Dinarim, Einim Rishom, they're not allowed to because it might go down in value. Elim, Ein Shem HaNim, L'chalak, only if there's no poor to disperse the coins to, the Mitzarif HaLachim, they change it to other coins, but Avaloy La'atzim, they cannot change it for themselves, because people are going to suspect them that, oh, they probably, you know, did it cheaper for themselves about the exchange rate on what they're changing. So they could change it, but not for themselves. But let's say the paupers themselves, they actually get benefit if the charity collector actually holds on to the monies. And how would that help? To force others to give more, saying, hey, look at the poor, they don't have anything, because he's not dispensing it to them, and he's using it for himself. Then the charity collector actually is allowed to borrow those monies of the poor and then subsequently pay them back. And again, and that's in their benefit, because people are saying, look, there's now money and people are going to start giving more. And the reason why he's allowed to use it is shatztaka in a hektish asla on this boy. Charity is not like hektish, although we're comparing it to like nidri hektish. The charity itself is not sanctified to say that he's not allowed to have benefit like by hektish. So therefore, in that case, when he's allowed to, it's no problem about like me'ila. Look above, the Ram continues regarding what happens if someone is giving charity for a hektish purpose. So Misha is not the menorah. If someone donates a candelabra, a ner, or a lamp, basic necessities to a shul, so also shenai is not allowed to change it what it was earmarked for. Now, but let's say you want to use it for some other mitzvah purpose, then you're allowed to change it. Even if, let's say, it wasn't yet lost and submerged the name of the owner on it, everyone knows that this is his lamp or candelabra that he donated. Rather, they say, this is his candelabra or his lamp. It doesn't make a difference. For mitzvah purpose, you're allowed to change what it's used for. Now, let's say people already forgot whoever donated this lamp. Then you could even change it, what it's used for, even for a non-mitzvah purpose. Now, when do we say this? The one who donated was a Jew. If it's a Gentile, I'll change it. I feel the Ramat's even for mitzvah purpose. Until everyone forgets already who had ever donated this. And the reason is, because maybe the Gentile is going to say, I donated something to the shul of the Jews, and they sold it for themselves. So to prevent that, as long as it's still well known that this is his thing, one is not allowed to go ahead and use it for something else. Halacha ches. Goyish is not the Levedic advice. If a Gentile donates to the temple upkeep, so initially we're not allowed to receive from him those donations. Then if they did take it from him, we don't give it back to him. Now, but let's say it was something distinct, could go in Kairo, it was a beam or a brick that you could see that it's his, that he donated, then they actually give it back to him. And the reason is, we don't want them to have a distinct entity in the temple itself. Shemek says the Pasuk in Ezra, loy lechem alone, it's not for you and for us, as the Pasuk there concludes, live in a space lekainer to build a house for our God. Now, but for shul, one could initially receive from them even something that's distinct, because from that Pasuk, he's only talking about the Beis HaMikdash. But that is true, only if he says, kedasi sol afrashti, I'm donating to the shul, like the consciousness of the Jewish people. But if he didn't say that, then Tonganiza, whatever he donated would have to be hidden away and concealed. Because Shemali B'Lashemai, maybe his intention was when he's donating to the synagogue, was to be hektish, to be holy for Hashem, which that's a hektish and that's forbidden to have benefit. That would be a problem about Me'ila. Then you would have to just hide it away. And the Imakam Lahem Lachem Yerushalayim, we don't receive from them donations for the walls of Yerushalayim. And B'Lo L'Amas HaMayim Shabbat, not for the stream of water that runs through. Shemalik says, Paskin Nechem Yerushalayim, and Chelik Vezakram Yerushalayim, and to you there's no portion and remembrance in Yerushalayim. They cannot go ahead and donate towards that to have a shir in Yerushalayim. Halacha Tes, the Rambam continues regarding receiving charity from a Gentile. It's forbidden for a Jew to take charity from the Gentiles publicly. Now, but let's say he cannot survive on the charity of the Jews, and he cannot take it from the Gentiles discreetly, then it's permitted. Now, if a king or a governor from the Gentiles, that he sends charity to the Jewish person, you don't send it back because of, obviously we need peace with the government. Rather, you take it from him. And you discreetly give it to Gentile poor people, so that the king doesn't hear that it wasn't used by the Jewish people. Halacha Yud, Ram continues regarding the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. Pidyon Shvuyim, redeeming captives, that comes before providing for the poor and for clothing them. There's no greater mitzvah than redeeming the captives. And the reason is, Shashav, because someone who's captive, Harei Bechlal, he's included Haraven, those who are starving, that's name, those who are thirsty, and those who are naked. And moreover, he's standing in this situation precarious for his life. Whoever turns a blind eye from redeeming him, he violates many mitzvahs. Of don't harden your heart, and don't close your hand. And va'aloi sama damri echa, and don't stand on the blood of your friend. And va'aloi your den meferech le'enecha, don't let him be downtrodden with harsh things in front of your eyes. Ubitl mitzis also violates the positive commandment of pasech tiftach ziyat chalei, to open up your hand to him. Umitzis and the positive commandment of v'chei achichi imach, that let your brother live with you. And also ba'avdrecha kamaycha, that you should love your friend as yourself. And the pasuk in Mishlei, v'hatzil kuchem l'mavis, and save those who are taken for death. And v'harbid ram kreila, and there's many pasukim like this. Says the Rambam, there's no greater mitzvah than redeeming the captives. The people of a city that collected monies to build a shul, and then the mitzvah purpose comes to them. So you could use the money that was collected for the shul for that mitzvah. Now, let's say let's already bought the bricks and the beams, then it should not be sold to use for a mitzvah purpose. Elephant Yeshurim. The only exception is, like we mentioned in the Great Mitzvah before, of redeeming captives. And Alpha Pisha Vyasaban Megidarm, and even if they brought the stones and they already chiseled it away. There's a curse of Solomon, they already took the beams and they already carved it out. The Hiskin Akulabinya, everything was prepared ready to build. The only thing you're allowed to sell it for is redeem the captives. Now, let's say you already built it and it's finished. Then you're not allowed to sell the shul. Rather, you have to collect for redeeming of the captives from the public. Now, halachid beis ain't putting this to shvuyim. You don't redeem the captive, but yes, al demay more than their going value. And they take it on because of rectification for the world. Because if you're going to pay exorbitant amounts for ransom, shalei you even write to machareim lishbaisim that we don't want the enemies to chase after people to take them in captivities because they're just going to be able to. That you can get so much money that's going to be a lucrative career. But the imavrichin as a shvuyim. Neither do we help the captives escape. And they take it on. That's also for rectification of the world. Because we don't want the enemies to really come down hard on the other captives. They're going to really be overly protective over them because they're afraid of helping an escape. So one doesn't do things that's going to cause future problems for captives. Now, someone sold himself and his children to Gentiles. Or he borrowed from them and he couldn't pay back and they took him captive. Oh yes, they locked them up because of the loans. So if it's the first and second time it happened, it's a mitzvah to redeem them. Shlish is already the third time, we don't redeem them. But we redeem the sons after the father passed away. Now Vim Bikchula Hargai, but if they want to kill him, then we redeem him from their hands, even if it's already after many times. If you have a slave that was taken captive. Since he already immersed himself for the purposes of being a Jewish slave, and he accepted upon himself the commandments, which is like an Eved Kanani from a Jew, which he has somewhat quasi halacha, like a Jew, like that of the mitzvahs of a woman. So, but then we redeem him just like a Jew that's taken captive. Now, in contrast, with Shaboy, a captive, a Shehemer, that he rebelled against Judaism, even in regards to one mitzvah, for example, that he deliberately would not eat kosher. And to anger God, or something like that, you're not allowed to redeem him. Again, it has to be that of Hamer, of a rebellion, like we see, not just someone who has obviously done something once wrong in his life. The Rambam continues regarding who comes first and regarding to redeem the captives. So, the woman comes before the man, to give her to eat, and to clothe her, and also regarding this mitzvah of redeeming as a captive. And the reason is, because it's normal for a man to go after food and clothing, not a woman, and her disgrace, her shame is more, and if we need to help her before the man who's more capable in those survival skills than the woman. Now, let's say both of them were captives, and although we say we redeem a woman first, but they're actually using the man and the woman. And they want to use him for sinful, carnal sins. Ha'ish kaidim liftes. Actually, the man is first to redeem. And the reason fiche in dark lekach, it's not the norm for a man to be sodomized, which therefore the disgrace for him in this case is more than that of a woman. And therefore, we redeem the man first. Halach the Zion, the Ram continues regarding yasam b'yisayim b'shabola hasi eisen. If a man, if a orphan boy and an orphan girl are coming to get married off, masin ha'isha kaidim le'ish. So we first marry off the girl before the man, the boy. Because again, the shame of the woman is greater. And we don't give her less than the weight of 6 1/4 dinarim of pure silver. And if in the coffers of the charity there is more, then again, we give her according to whatever her honor is. Let's say in front of us there was many poor people or many captives. And in the coffers, in the purse, there's not enough to support or kedei lachasas or the clothes or kedei lifta zikum to redeem them all. So what do you do? So there's an order, there's a hierarchy. Magdim nes hakohen lelevi. The kohen comes before the levi, the levi l'Yisrael and the levi before the Yisrael. B'Yisrael l'chal. A regular Yisrael comes before a chal, who chal is a desecrated, where he's born from a forbidden union of kohuna. For example, let's say his father kohen married a grusha, a chalal or a zayna, who he's forbidden to, and he's the product of that. And b'chal l'shtuki, that chal comes before a shtuki, which is that he recognizes his mother, but it doesn't recognize his father. When he says, oh, that's my father, they go, shtuki, they silence him, like, we don't know who your father is. Ushtuki la sufi. The shtuki comes for that sufi, who the sufi doesn't know, not his father, not his mother, where he was gathered in from the street. And vasufi la mamzer, the sufi comes before the mamzer, where the mamzer is definitively illegitimate from a forbidden union of his parents, whereas the shtuki and the sufi are doubt, so they come before the mamzer. Umamzer la nasan. The mamzer comes before the nasan, who he's what's called from the nasinim, which are really from the givayim that Yeshua had when nasan, he made them, he placed them to be the woodchoppers and the water carriers, and David HaMelech was gazing them that they're forbidden to marry to the Jewish people. So the mamzer comes before the nasan. The nasan lager, and from the nasin, he comes before the convert, and the reason for that is although the ger is a upstanding person, but shanasan godlimon begedusha, that person from nasinim, he has been with us many generations in a state of sanctity because his great-grandparents or whatever became Jewish, and in contrast to the ger who just became Jewish now. And the ger couldn't ever meshuchar, and the convert comes before a freed slave, where although halachically he's also essentially like a ger, where he's a full-fledged Jew now, but he was in the category of being cursed because before he was freed he was a slave. And the slave is included in the curse of Or Kanan Eved Avad Mil Achav. There's a curse of being a slave, so therefore the ger would become before the Eved. Halachi Tches Ram concludes, when we say this, that it's in that order, when both people that would compare and we have to choose from were equal in their wisdom. But if there was a high priest that was ignoramus, so even though Kain is the first on the list, and he was a high priest, but he was ignoramus, the mamzer was much lower on the scale, but this illegitimate child was a Talmudic scholar. Talmud Chacham Kaidim, Talmudic scholar comes first. And Chalak Gadol B'Chacham, whoever is greater in wisdom, Kaidim Schaver, comes before the other one. Now, but from Hoya Echem Hem Rabbi Yav, but if one of them was his teacher or his father, so after Yeshem Gadol B'Chacham, even though there's someone else, let's say in the captives of poor, that's greater than them in wisdom, Rabbi Yav, his teacher or his father, Shul Talmud Chacham, was a Talmudic scholar, Kaidim Lazeh, Shul Gadol B'Chacham, comes before the other one, even if that other person is greater than his father or his Rebbe in wisdom.